right, it is 5:32 on Monday, July 10th. I'd like to welcome everybody to a regular scheduled meeting of the Mount Clover Township Board of Trustees. And please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do have an executive session at the end of the meeting to discuss salary and wages and a possible real estate contract. And were there any other adjustments or additions to the agenda?
I don't believe so, since we took care of
the chairs
of the Historical Society.
All right. We do have someone to address the board tonight, Amy Barrett from Neighborhood Bridges.
I am Ann, had a medical emergency, so I am Ann. But Ann and I are working together on this, so.
All right.
I can just sit right here. Just fine. I just have, just so you can follow along with me, if you've got a couple right here. So I am here to just talk to you about Neighborhood Bridges and how we kind of got started with it. Some of you may remember me from back in the day of the Awake Community Coalition, Drug Take Back Days. I helped get you that return box that's here. And through our work, it evolved from not only doing drug, alcohol, mental health work with our students to a weekend bag program for food. And that went through pre-COVID, then COVID, and it still exists today. We have 90 kids we serve every Friday with weekend food bags. All attend the Anthony Wayne local schools. This current school year, the school hired a new mental health counselor, and so we kind of became working together a little bit with providing food and things. And then this came along. This Neighborhood Bridges was actually the gentleman that brought it to life is in the Cleveland area. It's in four different states now, and it's kind of doing what we have been trying to do as far as bring things under an umbrella, if you will, and meeting some of our needs of our students that are living in situations of poverty, trauma, foster care, whole list of things. And so what essentially it is kind of, I kind of describe it to people to think of it like one of those sign-up geniuses, if you will. So it's all social media based and email based. So you sign up to receive our emails. You only get emails if there is a need. And an interesting statistics that we came across in our Anthony Wayne community since we started working with this gentleman, 72% of the people that live in the Anthony Wayne community do not have children that attend schools. So they are potentially unaware of any need that may be.
So I just learned last night, Ottawa Hills has 30% of the people that live in that community do not have children that attend the school.
Isn't it
the exact
opposite? Yes, yes. And this program has been kicked off this year, or last year it was kicked off in Sylvania. This year it's been kicked off in both Perrysburg and Anthony Wayne, this Neighborhood Bridges. So essentially what it is, it's vetted through our school counselors. So it's not just anyone that can go and ask for something. It's all vetted through our school counselors. And the example I usually like to give is, we have a counselor has a student who needs shoes. The counselor will put this need up on this website that we have, Anthony Wayne Neighborhood Bridges. We are in need of, and very specific, whatever the specific, the size, the color,
right,
whatever it is. You then, if you subscribe to our emails or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you can go on and you can choose to fulfill the need. You can say, I will fulfill this need. There's information that you fill out. And then Ann and I are the administrators, so we would be in contact with you about that. Let's say you really want to help fulfill this need, but you can't fulfill the entire need. There is the option to go on and donate to that need, $1, $5, or whatnot. When we have that dollar amount to be able to go purchase the shoes, then we go purchase the shoes, that need comes off of our list, and we move on. So that's kind of how it works. So you can, as a community member, you can choose also, you can either wait for a need, or you can choose to go on monthly and just, you know, donate $5 or whatever to our Anthony Wayne Neighborhood Bridges. It stays in our account. And then when we have a need, whatever that might be, we can help that child or that family. So to give you an example of another need, one of the other needs that came across the council this year, there was a family that needed a hot water tank. Now, this is a family that she has worked with at school, so there are issues within the family, whatever they may be. We aren't privy to that. And so that would be a need that we would put out there, and when we can get enough money, then we can fulfill that need. What we are looking for from Monclova Township area is just a drop-off box. So it would be one of those Rubbermaid containers that says Neighborhood Bridges on it. And what we're doing is, and how this works, is we'll have a drop-off box in every community. So if I'm working, so Barbara, if I'm working with you on these shoes, I can say, where do you live? What's closest to you? I would make arrangements then for you to drop off here. And then either Ann and I would come and pick up the shoes, and then we deliver. So we try to, the whole idea is to keep it as anonymous as possible. We don't want the kids to know. It's a community thing. It's not a school thing. We are just working with the school and with the school counselors to bring that.
Might you add other need besides the school? Like if we have somebody else who's doing social work in the area?
So we are going to start with the school
and see
where it goes, and then potentially reach out. Our next branch would probably be clergy, potentially.
Right.
Because we recognize that a lot of churches have people walk in and have needs, and we would benefit. But we're going to start with the school, because we know there's needs there.
And there are other schools. You're starting with a public school. There are other schools in our area that could
Perrysburg and Sylvania.
No,
Sylvania's,
I mean,
you're saying private schools.
Oh, private schools, yes. We could then go to Lyell,
yep,
or St. Joe and say, this is what we have.
Monclova Road,
right.
Yep.
Absolutely. We're just going to start small.
Yes.
And see where it goes. Once we get it off the ground, it'll pretty be autopilot. They handle all of the marketing. We do nothing. This is not us. This is Neighborhood Bridges. They do everything for us. It's all in a Google Drive. All we have to do is select what we want to do, and the whole premise is to help spread kindness.
Is there a cost for them to administrate any of this?
There's no cost to us. And every dollar that we raise, so we can write a grant for this. If we were to see a grant for this, we could write it through Anthony Wayne Neighborhood Bridges. They would be our fiscal agent. The money would go in. Every dollar that we raise stays right here at Anthony Wayne Community Bridges program.
Neighborhood Bridges eligible for any United Way funding?
I'm not sure. Actually, that's a good question I can ask him. If they're out there as a selection, you mean?
Or to designate a gift, or, you know, I know a lot of times, you know, United Way.
Yes.
You know, based on requests that they receive.
Yes.
If folks, you know, like me, through payroll deductions,
right,
you make a general contribution.
Let me ask him. That's a really good question. That would be very helpful, because Awake used to be on there too. My husband used to donate for me. So we are really excited about this, because we've been helping kids now for 5-6 years, well, forever. But through our weekend bag program, we have just recognized, even through that there are kids that come that need additional things or services or whatnot. And so this is a great way for us, for everyone, to help in whatever capacity that they can.
For us, you'd be looking for a drop-off / pickup point at some
mm-hmm.
point that
mm-hmm.
folks could come in. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking out loud.
So it's one of those, you know, those black boxes that you see at
Costco
or whatnot with the yellow lids on it. That's pretty much, that's the size of it. It'll have a label on it that says Neighborhood Bridges. And like I said, when there is a need and someone signs up to fulfill that need, then Ann and I have correspondence back and forth with them. So we can be very specific with them as far as what time we need them to drop it off, where we need them to drop it off, whatnot. So you're never going to have a situation where your box is overflowing in the lobby and no one's come to get it, because we want to quickly turn this around. Our very first one that we're going to kick off the school year with is we're going to put together homework kits, and we're hoping to do 100 of those. And so there'll be needs out there, colored pencils, glue sticks, you know, all those needs will be out there. So you can choose to, you know, help towards that.
This is going to be for all levels, elementary, junior high, high school, all the way from...
Any need.
Any, okay.
Any need, K through... Well, actually, now it's preschool. I mean, there's a preschool program, so preschool through 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should ask the administrator, or really the person that manages the lobby. Oh, she left the room.
There is room in the lobby. And
we've already done this for them, so there's no legal reason we can't do it.
And this doesn't add any additional burden on anybody, any staff here, because the box is there. They
right.
would put it in the box. You would put
it in the box between the hours.
Yeah.
12 to 4.
And so we would be specific on the hours if they could come and drop it off. Because we'll have other locations, so if that's not convenient, they can pick... You know, another location.
I'm hoping
just
we can do more than that, so we can post on our Facebook when the box is delivered, and
mm-hmm.
we can talk about the box on a regular basis. I can come drop something off and take my picture, and we can post it on Facebook. And
we would love for you to do that. We'd also love for you to sign. I think when I put in this neighborhood, Brett, it tells you how to subscribe and follow on the sheet I just gave you. So you go to neighborhoodbridges.org. This is a really cool thing, actually. When you go on there, you have to select communities. So let's say that you have a daughter or son that lives in Columbus.
You can go help
who's an administrator. You can click on their area, and you can choose to support somebody in another area. It doesn't have to just be. But if you go to communities, you'll be able to select Anthony Wayne Neighborhood Bridges and then click the link to subscribe. We'll tell you this too. The only time you'll get an email is if there's a need, and they're only sent once a day. So, if you're like me, I get inundated with emails. So I don't want to sign up for something that I'm going to get 15 emails a day. It's once a day. It's assigned a time, and it goes. And if there's no need, then you won't get an email. You won't get a correspondence. Same thing with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You won't have anything. We don't have anything out there. So right now we have no needs posted, so there's no... We'll also be using this through the school for the weekend bag program, because we're fulfilling those weekend bags for kids at school. So let's say we run out of cereal, we can put out there that, or oatmeal, we need, 40 individual packages of oatmeal, and you can say, I can fulfill that, or I'll...
So it's going to tie in with your food on Friday through the weekend?
Potentially, if we ever have a need. Usually we're pretty...
Okay. No, I was just going to say, I think this is a very worthy, noteworthy program. Would support it and just encourage you to coordinate with Kathleen and Harold the delivery of the box.
Okay.
And
thank you.
And the posting of the hours.
We're just waiting on our details for our boxes, and then we're ready to roll. But we don't want to put our needs out there until we have our boxes in place, because then we have a whole other...
I hope it's hugely successful.
I am so excited about it. I just love helping people myself, and this is just a great way to kind of bring everybody in, and for the betterment of our community and our students, and helping them be successful. And I know our counselor, she was hoping to be here tonight too, but she actually has a couple back-to-school bashes planned in some of our communities where we have trouble getting parents to come to school registration. One of them being Chateau Estates, and so they're actually going there to register the kids. We know how many kids live in there that attend the Anthony Wayne schools, so we'll be there with our weekend bag programs and sign them up for weekend bags. What else are they doing with them? They're providing a meal. They're doing a cookout kind of thing, and they're making it a whole like back to school kind of thing. So.
72% of the people live
72%. Isn't that amazing?
Don't have kids in the school.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah. So I've known Ann for many years through the school because she was one of the administrative people at the high school. So, and she lives down the road here. So I said, Ann, did you know that there's 72% of the people? Well, she lives in Waterside. And she said, well, I can believe just even Waterside. We don't have anybody in school. So,
thank you for bringing this to us.
Thank you very much.
All right. Moving on with the rest of our agenda, are there any additions or corrections to the reading of our last minute on July 10th?
No corrections.
I'll make a motion to accept those as submitted.
Second.
Second by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
All right, and then our fiscal officer has submitted bills totaling $436,051.13. I'll make a motion to pay the bills as submitted.
Second.
Second by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. And then also our fiscal officer has got a couple of adjustments. So I'll make a move to make the four adjustments in term from internal funds. $25,000 repairs and maintenance, $20,000 operating supplies, another $25,000 repairs and maintenance, and $20,000 operating supplies per the attached list submitted by our fiscal officer.
Second.
Second by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right, and then under correspondence, and I included this under discussion, I received an email from a friend, and I'm hoping I pronounced it right, Uski or Ueski, regarding the poor condition of the roundabout at Skid and Waterville, Monclova. Ms. Ueski is at 8350 Snapdragon Drive. And this is a roundabout installed by the county about 2 years ago. Am I correct, Harold?
Yeah.
And she's right. It's the original landscaping is there, and it's, I don't think the county has touched it since. Is that a fair assessment?
There's also a second letter. You saw that, right, from
yeah.
Stuber?
So, and I guess my question is that I did talk to Harold about this a little bit, and we did also receive another email from a Jan Stuber as well regarding the condition of the roundabouts, and she is on Maplesburg Drive. The county has said, well, we're more than happy to take them over, but in my opinion, there seems to be no consistency with the roundabouts, including I look at the one in Waterville Township at Waterville, Monclova, and Stitt, and that's in just as bad condition as the one at Waterville, Monclova, and Stitt. The one at Weckerly and Monclova, we have four dead arborvitaes, or three dead arborvitaes on a mound. The one at Weckerly and 28 is, and this is where I'm going to give the county an ODOT, oh, there needs to be a site break distance. Well, the one at 28 and Weckerly is flat mowed grass.
And again, that's
that has
probably...
A
no, 20A in
Weckerly.
20A where the storage is. 20A in Weckerly is flat mowed.
That's, but that's ODOT's
talking
about. So,
okay. At least it's mowed.
They must work to different standards.
But I guess the question about being, and then I went to the fireworks last week out in Sylvania, and I went up Centennial Road, and I saw some dead trees, and the two roundabouts that were in Springfield Township had the dump truck, but the ones in Sylvania Township were just like the ones out here, just dead trees, overgrown weeds, and I don't know.
So should we, Mike Panuski isn't going to change his point of view, so it becomes a political question. Do you go to Tina and Pete and the commissioners and say, hey, this system isn't working, can you talk to your people?
Or can they compensate us X amount of money
to take
put
over
them maintenance free? Because everybody's blaming the township for these roundabouts, and they don't understand these are not our roundabouts. I understand you don't like the dump rock, but I did the same thing when I went down King. Both the Springfields both had dump rocks with just evergreen trees in it. It looks nice, it's clean. Is it nice and fancy? No, but it does its purpose. But if the county would compensate us for our guys' time and the material, I think that would be the way to go, and to let us put maintenance-free stuff in and take it from there. And I do
right,
like
but having Harold call the county isn't going to change what they do. So there has to be a new approach. Do we send a letter to the commissioners?
Well, actually, I did have an opportunity this week or last week to talk to Bob Bethel from Springfield Township. And
LCTA is
going to
do
something. LCTA, we're going to see if we can use our collective force together with Waterville and which the next meeting we're actually going to shoot, I think August 24th, we're looking at the fourth Thursday of the month. So we're going to
Are we inviting someone or are we just...
We will invite Mike Stormer and Mike Panuski as well, and I will reach out to one of the commissioners as
Perfect.
Well.
I think it's a great plan. And you have...
But in the meantime...
Julie and I on board here saying we want to do something different.
Well, I shouldn't confess this, but I've been so tempted to take my mower down on my clove. I didn't
have either. Said, do we just want to brush hog everything?
Yeah.
Do we, or do we need to ask permission to brush hog everything?
Well, this I'll say, since we're talking roundabouts, the roundabout at the maintenance building on Angola and King at Springfield, which Harold has those plans with the rocks, and that, it's very pretty. And it does look like it's pretty well maintenance-free, because we've been talking about the roundabout at Salisbury and Holloway.
And we've already notified the county that we want it to be like the one at King.
And Angola.
Yes.
Okay.
And Mike Stormer has put that into the plan. So... The roundabout at Salisbury and Holloway will mimic.
And I just think that should be our roundabout. Anytime
right,
we put
right,
a new
right.
roundabout in, it looks like that. Like we
right.
have agreed
yeah.
that that's a moderate version of with moderate.
I know you're going to disagree, but I still think the dump rock is clean, maintenance free. There's a few weeds. You never have to touch it.
I don't know how much
well,
more expensive it is.
In Sylvania, they get dump rock and there's weeds.
They don't have such a good maintenance department. We have a fantastic maintenance department for that kind of stuff.
Do we want to take any action on the one at Waterville instead? Watermuckluck instead? Do we want to just brush hog it?
There's grass in there.
I
though.
Wouldn't do that without
no.
permission. It's.
I went by on Tuesday, and there are ornamental plants in that roundabout. You just can't see them.
Right.
So there's grasses in there. There's other. If you look close, there are plants, but they're surrounded by the weeds.
Okay.
So what are we gonna
do? And the shame is that it would look really nice with the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the shame is that the county spent good $7,500 on planting all this stuff and just didn't maintain it. Just no different than the arborvitaes that work really in on clover that are now dead.
That's the twice. They didn't last. They didn't last
too
long.
Well, tell us what you need, Chuck, to make sure people are at the
no,
LCTA
I just
meeting
think we'll,
so we can move this forward.
I'll reach out to Mike Panuski on the seat again and Mike Stormer if they can attend that meeting. And, you know, I think because I'm different roundabouts, we've been asked to make financial contributions
mm-hmm.
towards them, and why should we do that if we're going to end up maintaining them in the long run? So I think going forward, if we're going to be asked to make a financial contribution, that we need to discuss and consider that, you know, part of ongoing maintenance as our contribution rather than a financial contribution. But we can discuss that when future roundabouts come up for discussion.
And I think Trudy does make a good point if the county would be willing to work with us so it's not our expense to take over a roundabout. If they would compensate us to do that, then we can do it,
mm-hmm.
and then it's not a big deal.
Right.
I think they gave, or the one roundabout I think cost us $4,000. I think by the time we cleared it was the dump rock, everything that was done to that one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's tell the county, hey, you know, you are really looking bad. You know, $5,000 check, then we can determine and keep it maintenance free and our guys can control it. Say $5,000 contribution, we'll clean up each roundabout, $5,000 each, and Tara will do laughing.
Yeah, because
yeah.
they're not going to do it, but...
Exactly.
It's worth
it.
Yeah, it's worth
it.
But it's part of their budget. I mean,
right.
they
yeah.
did it originally, just like Chuck said. They've done it originally. It just now then goes to seed to weeds to dead.
Karen, can you make sure when you put it in there, tell them the roundabouts do not belong to Mount Clovis Township. The residents need to contact the county because everybody thinks every roundabout in the township is owned by us.
Or should be maintained.
Or should be.
Like I said, you got the one at Waterville, Mount Clovis Stiff, which is Waterville Township.
But Carol had to do all that paperwork, even for us to do the last one. You had an amount of paperwork for them to even give us permission to clean up their roundabout. Didn't you?
Yeah,
I mean, you had to jump through agreements and hoops and everything
we had
else.
We had to sign agreements,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's just not that they're willing to do that. They're making it a lot of official business that we have to sign to even clean up their roundabouts.
Is Karen going to write, Grim laughed at thought. County would pay $5,000 per roundabout.
I tried. Okay.
All right, so more to come on that.
They haven't had fun at their meeting in a long time.
No other correspondence. We covered the fiscal officer's items.
No, you didn't. You missed his Ohio plan risk management, and I called him today about this. Because I'm like, why do you have me looking at 40 pages of the Ohio plan? That is exactly what we should not be doing. And he said, I wanted you to review limits. Because, which is more of a policy issue than what's on the inventory list. I can't correct what's on the inventory list unless I become an employee
right.
Who's in charge of inventory.
But I did proof it, and there are two or three major questions that I have.
Yeah, like the fire department.
The fire department owns
yeah.
has three full-time fire
yeah,
departments.
That's all going to be taken care of.
Right.
He wants you, and he wasn't here to tell us that.
It.
Right. I saw the same thing. He just wants us to make sure we're comfortable with the limits.
Well, the other thing is, though, that I had a question on, and Gavin's not here, and he says by August 7th that any questions, I'm sure we can email him, but being the newer person on the block, it's like a lot of these bonds, and again, I don't know, like Kathleen and Harold were not listed on some of the items, but Eric was listed, and Doug Holland was listed. So I'm not sure. I mean, I took pictures on my screenshot because I was trying to read them off my computer, but it's like, why are some people under certain and some people aren't? Kathleen's not on any bonds or anything. Is it because you don't handle money? Or why is Doug Holland on one of them, but Harold's not?
It's a high revised code. Doug's on it because he's cemetery sexton.
Okay.
And Eric is also required.
Okay, so that had to do with the cemetery. But these are questions I have because I've never looked at these type of insurance policies.
Yeah, that's why I was annoyed.
Many other employees covered
because
by
you
dishonesty.
You can't.
I'm sorry, wait, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Many other employees covered by dishonesty, which you guys, I think, upped it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like 3 years.
Yes.
So that's why we're not because we're covered elsewhere.
So Doug is on because of the cemetery. Okay, that makes sense.
Because of the Ohio revised code.
Okay.
But I don't know that either. We're not experts in this. So to know that legal liability is $1 million, I can't tell you that that's the right amount.
And I could certainly reach out to Lori Manning from Highland, who represents us in the Hyatt plan, to have her come to a meeting and just walk through this. Would that be...
If this is appropriate, it's appropriate. She can come if she wants to.
Or send us an email saying, yeah...
This is what 90% of the townships do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with that. I just...
Why don't I do that? I'll have her send an email somewhere to Gavin, the three of us, and copy.
He wants to be able to pay the bill when it comes in. So if he wanted you to look at it. So if you thought there was some deductible or some amount of liability that wasn't correct... it could be changed now so he can pay the bill and not be late.
So, but he said August 9th he wanted the suggestions by August 9th, so I figured there was time to still review.
Okay.
And one more meeting, so. Okay. I think there's two meetings.
Okay. Right. Yeah, we have a meeting on...
Next Monday, and then the first one in August.
August, yeah.
Which is August 7th.
Right, okay.
So he just wanted us to look at limits and liability and...
Yeah. Can't throw it in his face.
happens something in the future.
All right. Anything else on that? All right. In the working session, we discussed, this will stay on old business, Kathleen, the residential TIF updates, that the developer will be working with the county and ODOT on that. Park improvements, anything updates there, Harold or Eric, on as far as the green parking? Have you found some examples of that for an update in our zoning?
I've looked. We already have a section for semi-permanent parking in our zoning for parks only, which would be like overflow. Like if we wanted to have an area that's already in our code, if we wanted to have an area with like those hexagons, call it, we could do that in the parks. So it's like
would that be considered overflow parking if on both sides of the current road where we have like parking at each end? Would that be considered overflow parking?
I think if that's what we used it for, it could be, yeah.
Okay.
If we were using it for an overflow purpose.
Yeah, that's a good overflow.
Yeah.
Instead of putting down the blacktop. Okay. You know, I was just in another state, and we had a lot of green parking there. And it is very green. You know, it's nice, right? You're on... Now, it's kind of burnout grass because it's the heat of the summer, but I just don't know. It was mainly for golf cart parking. I don't know if a car can sit on it, right? So we'd have to do it. It's probably just as expensive as blacktop.
So
that's probably the next thing we should do.
Well,
is,
we're going to back up because I was just going to think. We've been talking about grants with the metro parks.
Yeah, they might very much like, but we still would have to get a quote. We'd have to know what it costs to put in green parking.
I'm not saying green parking. I'm saying blacktop parking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wouldn't be attractive. That wouldn't be a reason to get a grant.
Okay, so now you got pouring down rain. Now you're in mud. Now you got tire tracks. Try to mow it.
Yeah.
And then
you can dislike green parking. I'm saying
snow.
For a grant purpose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's at the park during snow. This is for baseball season or soccer.
Sledding hill.
And
there's plenty of parking for the sledding hill.
There's already a swale there, so there wouldn't be any runoff yet.
This would be an attractive granting opportunity. Blacktop is not. Green parking would be.
You said that metro parks help pay for something. What was that, Harold, before?
The restroom facility.
The restroom facility?
Yeah. Who's our contact at the metro parks, Eric?
Usually Tim Shetter is the person I've talked to recently.
Would you reach out to him and see either, I guess my preference would be the green parking, but you know, maybe there's like through the Rails to Trails program that got the grant funding for the restroom, or if there's other grant opportunities for expansion A of green parking, but then it not B green park or regular blacktop parking. Yeah.
So this would be like a partnership with the Metro Parks.
Yeah.
A lot of people could park there.
Bike trail.
The
bike trail and right.
Of green parking, preferably, but then also just regular
well,
parking.
That's Chuck's opinion, green parking, and Barbara's. Preference for green parking.
Two. Green parking.
Yep.
Two. You heard it. Two people, green parking.
Yeah.
Preference, but you know, if grant funding is only available, through Rails to Trails may not be available for that, but it just, maybe Tim would have a better idea. You know, maybe we put in some additional bike racks or something else. I know we did like the, I forget the club that put the repair thing in there.
Yeah, I know you mean the bicycle repair station.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the club, but yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Harold, you addressed the...
did we do this?
Yes.
Oh, we did, okay.
He didn't read off it by number. He just kind of
gotcha.
Went down by one by one.
I wonder if that's snoring was from down there.
No, I was laughing.
All right. Administration Fire Department update. You said Tony Perales is getting some information back to you.
I have not heard back from him. I have followed up. I expect to hear from him very soon.
Okay. All right. And then we just talked about the roundabout. Any other old business? Tribal trustees?
To back up to the fire department, the appliances come in, but I heard there's one mix-up and one needs to be looked at. So the stove's in. I love the stove. I'd love to have that in my house. Ice machine's in. The washers are in. Guys are happy to do their own bedding now with the stack of a washing and the dryer. So it's little things like that that help them make it feel a little bit more home and easier to accommodate themselves at the fire station. So thanks so much to the fire guys for working and getting a lot of that in place. The dishwasher's in. And
were you able to install everything ourselves, Scott?
Yeah, we are working with a plumber. One of the things that I've identified is we've got a lot of copper lint. Very hard to work on copper. So we brought a plumber in, and we are working to replace the copper with PEX. A lot easier for us to work on in the future needs or anything like that. So he's just basically dropping lines, has tied in his dropping lines, and then we will go from there and have our own guys be able to work on that stuff.
Okay.
So you should go over there and take a look.
All right, any new business items? All right, Harold, you got a couple action items?
Couple, yes. We have the contract back from Bowers Asphalt and Paving for this year's resurfacing project, so that needs to be approved and signed. They'd like to start this week.
I move to approve the contract with Bowers Asphalt and Paving for the 2023 Monclova Township OPWC resurfacing project in Homestead.
Second by Herschel. Motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Did you add the Cross Creek and Winterborne? Thank you.
And then we still have supply chain issues with vehicles, huh?
Still have supply chain issue with vehicles. The last May we ordered a 2024 truck to replace our 2011. And we were told that it would be built sometime in 2024 at a price of $97,422. But we were just recently advised that truck will not be built, and they canceled the order. So this request is for approval to place an order for a 2025 chassis and cab at an estimated price of $107,676. And that's an estimated price.
I move to authorize the administrator to order one 2025 International HV607 SBA chassis and cab from Salking International LLC through the Ohio Department of Transportation Cooperative Purchasing Program at an estimate price of $107,676.70, subject to change.
Second
by Lane. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Harold, can I just ask a couple questions on that?
Sure. I get this while you're
on. Are we on the list earlier? Like, this is the cooperative purchasing program, so we're not out there trying to get our own truck. The state makes this deal for us.
Yes.
Are we earlier on the list? Why do we think it's not going to be canceled again? Like, just because supply chain's getting better? And should we, can we cancel this at any time?
Yeah, can we go shopping elsewhere?
Can we go look somewhere else and get something between 97,000 and 107,000 that meets our needs pretty much, like the fire truck ambulance that we were discussing 2 weeks ago? You know, the door might be in the wrong spot.
We can cancel this order, but we would forfeit $5,000.
Well, what's the advantage of doing it?
If we don't get it for 2 years, I mean, if we need a truck soon, I mean, can Brondies find us one or collide a truck or somebody?
Not at this price, I wouldn't think.
Okay.
Because this is cooperative purchasing. I mean, you know, it is what it is. They just, for a couple of years, didn't build any trucks. And now, I got an email from Soaking International on Friday, and he said he believes that they're ready to open up the ordering process. So this order would go to Selking, and as soon as they're able to order through cooperative purchasing, they will do that. And he said they're
expecting... So you're feeling confident.
They're expecting that window to open soon. To me, this is the best way to go about it. But if we, we can explore other options.
So
we can't if you sign that agreement, unless it's $5,000 cheaper than 97 to 107.
Well, what's the chance though of, I'm just saying, finding this truck
or
on the open market
truck,
yeah,
or a similar truck
in the open market?
I'm thinking it's likely.
It's what?
I'm thinking it's not very likely.
Right.
But this is there's a $5,000 cancellation fee that applies to any canceled orders.
When we had the order and they canceled it, did we have a deposit down?
No.
But now they're putting
this in? They should
have
to pay us $5,000.
Yeah.
A lot like the county. They don't fulfill this.
They can cancel the order. We can't.
We can't. You think that if they canceled the order, they wouldn't have to refund the deposit?
We didn't put any deposit. There was no money.
No, but you're saying on this contract.
They're saying if we order this,
right,
and then we cancel this
right
order, they're going to send us a bill.
No, okay, we're not putting it up front.
No, no,
but if we cancel it, then we have to pay.
No, no.
So
they will send us a bill for $5,000.
We just won't pay it, right?
And then we'll
go to collection.
We'll never participate in cooperative purchasing again.
Have we had much success? I mean, on this program, being again, I don't know all the vehicles we
purchased. Prior to COVID,
in the past,
we've never had a problem. We order the vehicle generally within
6 to 9 months
at the most. We have the vehicle. Yeah.
So, if this is a problem with this vehicle, with the vehicles we've been getting, because I know they canceled that dump truck, the other one, the smaller one, numerous times. Is there something we should be looking at in the future that needs to be ordered that is on the capital improvement list that we need to be looking at the ambulance, other things sooner than later?
Sooner than later, yeah.
I think we really need to start looking, instead of the 6 or 9 months, I think we need to be looking at replacing stuff at least 18 to 2 years out to get the foot in the door. Talking about the ambulance, there was a grant that Monclova is eligible for. Have we done anything with that ambulance? Barbara emailed to everybody. We're on the list. Is there anything that is being done with that? Was it $20,000 or something that you sent to everybody?
So that's that ambulance transport grant was to fund like an incentive program for the employees that worked during COVID times. I reviewed all the stuff. We have all the information that we need. Harold has the packet of stuff to look over, as far as he has to be the authorized signer for the township, and we're reviewing that to see about that. But that specific grant was to fund a program to give extra incentive to employees from the COVID times.
I thought maybe it was towards purchasing new ambulances, but you're saying no. So I guess, you know, the other thing is, I'm going to ask you guys, I think we need to be looking at a lot of these larger expenditures sooner than later.
Yeah,
because
ahead of time.
We talked
about that
the
last time with the dump truck being ordered a couple times. Yeah.
Right. So fire trucks or stuff for the fire department or stuff for the maintenance building. I know they're looking at, like, not big purchases, but, you know, some gator stuff and things like this that should be readily available. But a lot of this stuff just seems, for example, my guys get uniforms. I've had on a list for a month or longer just to try to get replacement uniforms. And my uniform supplier is saying they're just not there. And that's just uniforms. So we really need to start looking at and talking to these departments what they need, because it's not happening quick these days.
Right.
And you know I like quick.
You
figure that out.
We figure that out, yeah.
Okay. So,
we deducted that, yeah.
Harold, something that you and Gavin need to sit down and look at as far as what's upcoming for big expenditures.
Yeah, just a budgeting issue if we need to move things
right.
earlier than
into
later.
Into
like yeah.
earlier budget, or even then we can order it. Still might not be until 2025 or 2026.
We need delivery right now.
Looking at the delivery dates and not the order dates.
All right. Well, that's the only action item. We just
yes.
had a question here. You had in your report about the waterside tree issue. I know you had a couple gentlemen a couple of weeks ago. Is this a different group of calls you're getting, or no for an answer?
We get calls. I don't know if they've slowed down at all, but Kathleen, Doug, Eric, and I have all been receiving calls from people in Waterside. Hey, they're telling us we have to plant these trees. Do we really have to? And I communicated with Sheila, the manager over there, just to set the record straight, because people were telling us that they were being told the area between the street and the sidewalk belongs to the property owner, so Waterside HOA could dictate to them what they do. And I told Sheila, no, that's not true. That's public right of way. We allow people to plant trees there, but we don't require trees there. You know, I put the list on my memo.
Yeah, it's a great list.
Mm-hmm.
All the points that I made.
It works for more developments than Waterside.
Exactly. And
your final one is really good. Yes, Kathleen,
we
call up the final one.
We
do
not
get involved between disputes between residents and their HOA.
And then Eric and I had a lengthy conversation with one of the HOA board members trying to convince us that Eric could administratively change the PUD requirements that would require the trees. And we said, no, we're not going to do that.
Do I tell what a PUD is in case somebody's listening?
Oh, planned unit development.
Right. In case somebody's listening, we probably all know what a PUD is, but somebody might not know what a PUD is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what else to do other than what we've done. And Eric and I think we've convinced that board member that called us. The township just isn't going to get involved in it. Because he said, well, you could administratively change the PUD and put in the landscape requirements that would require these trees. And Eric and I said yes, and then we would be the ones that would be mandating that people plant trees, and we're not going to do that.
Right.
We're not going to do it.
Right.
So...
But the other gentleman you had in there were from, you said a CHOW group?
They call themselves CHOW, Concerned Homeowners of Waterside. And they, as a group, are trying to fight what the HOA is trying to do as far as mandating trees. And we told them, or I told them, the same thing. Look, this is between you and your homeowners association. We're not in that game.
Okay.
Run for the boards.
I can say on the record that Valhalla had a problem with street trees. They got a disease and half of them died.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeowners association made the decision to pay for the street trees.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a system in place to replant, because Valhalla is a very small little development. I don't know, what is it, 100 homes maybe? And it looked very odd without any street trees, right? So they put in place a plan over time to replace the trees at a reasonable expense to the association. So there are options outside of forcing.
And Eric and I
was going to say, that's exactly what our Lexington Glen is going through right now. There's been a number of the pear trees in the right of way that have come down.
And you have to decide.
There was a committee that researched different trees, and we're going to go through a 3-year process of planning.
And so you just use a little bit of your funding to replace these trees. If you drive through Valhalla now, you'll see like old trees and like a variety of.
And Eric, can I suggest that when we discussed it with the HOA board member?
Yes.
He said that, I believe he alluded that their attorney advised them they could not plant trees. They could plant trees in common areas, but they could not plant trees on township property.
Well, every other
that's what I told him. I said we've had other HOAs that have done that, and he said our understanding is we can't. So they're trying to require the homeowners to do it. They went through a lot of effort, and they put together a tree plan that looks very nice and very professional, and it probably would be nice, but they're requiring people to buy 8-foot tall trees of a certain caliber. And I mean, I had one lady call me in tears, this is going to cost me $1,000. I can't afford it. And
right, so they need to come up with a payment plan or a variety of options.
Yeah. Or allow smaller trees.
Right.
You know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All sad. I hope they can work it out.
Okay. That concludes our agenda items. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns from any of our audience members regarding any agenda items? All right. With that, I will make a motion to move from general session to executive session to consider a potential real estate transaction and also discuss wages and employment of a public official.
Second.
Oops, sorry.
Second by Vickery on the motion.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Oh. Make a motion to return from executive session to general session.
Second. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. We do have one action item.
Right. During our discussion, we talked about missing some increases in salaries over the course of 2023. And so I have a motion to present. I move to approve a 3%.
Here they go.
I move to approve a 3%.
No, I just made sure they had enough. Sorry.
A 3% increase for the township administrator position, the assistant fire chief position, the captain and fire prevention position, effective at the start of the next pay period. The assistant fire chief will also receive a $600 inflation bonus at the start of the next pay period.
Second.
Second by Herschel. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. I move to adjourn.
Second.
By Herschel on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.